We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Albert Breer is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline for Monday Morning Quarterback, along with Jason Lloyd. Dustin called in sick. He wanted to avoid you today, Albert.
Yeah. Sounds like somebody's lacking desire, and it's kind of disappointing to hear that Dustin couldn't cut this one out.
It's literally less than 2 weeks before Christmas, and let me tell you, he kind of made that known in a text to me.
Well, thoughts and prayers to the entire Fox family. I really hope
thoughts and prayers. Albert, you know, in this town, you know, folks are just dying for wins, and they're getting a taste of what's to come for the Browns, which is probably a lot more winning than we've seen with Baker Mayfield. And folks, because they're seeing any taste of winning, a lot of people are like, well, let's not mess with it. Let's keep Greg Williams as the head coach. Now, we don't know what's going to happen in these last three games. Maybe they'll win out. Maybe they'll make the playoffs. Who the hell knows? But anything short, even if that happens, do you think, is Greg Williams increasing his chances of keeping this job right now?
I mean, it'd be hard to say he isn't, because, you know, you're winning, like he's winning, and I certainly think that, like, the you know, he's acquitted himself well. I mean, what does that mean, though? Like, does that mean it's gone from, like, 2% to 5%? I don't know. I mean, I still think that, you know, they're, you know, the impetus here is to hire somebody that they believe can be their head coach for the next 10 years and work with Baker Mayfield long-term, and I guess the model would be, you know, there's not another Sean McVay, but, you know, McVay and Goff are probably tied to hips for the next 10 to 15 years. I think you could probably say the same about Peterson and Wentz in Philadelphia. You want somebody you can tie your quarterback to long term. Is that person Greg Williams? I mean, I don't think so. And I think if you look at where they're at right now, my feeling out would be, you know, he's done a good job of putting him in position to maybe, you know, keep the job as defensive coordinator. If the new coach, whoever it is, comes in and it doesn't have a very defined idea of who he wants in that role, I think he certainly helped his case to get a DC job somewhere else. I don't know about you guys. I just have a hard time envisioning them, you know, hitching their wagon long term to Greg Williams. And he's done a fantastic job. Like, I'm not denigrating the job he's done at all, but I don't know that I see this as a long term fit.
Albert, it's Jason. We kind of right on with you in that thought, but I'm curious about Freddie Kitchens and what he's doing and what the offense is doing in Cleveland. Are teams around the league taking notice of that, and where is Freddie now compared to where he was maybe a month ago in the eyes of other teams around the league?
Yeah, you know, I Freddie was in such an interesting position a couple of years ago too. You know, I don't know how much you guys know about this, but he did a really good job with Carson Palmer in Arizona also, and really helped Carson resurrect his career there. And, you know, and then, you know, Bruce Arians took a liking to Byron Leftwich, and Bruce moved Byron Leftwich into the quarterback coach's role and moved Freddie Kitchens over to running backs. And I don't know that was fair to Freddie, but that's the way it went down, you know. And I think that sort of, you know, from a perception standpoint, wasn't great for him. But I think there were people that were close to him that really felt like, you know, this is still a really good coach. He did a really good job in Arizona. And those same people are pretty happy for him now that he's got a chance to show up first as Baker's position coach and now as his coordinator. And so I think if the people around the league do a little digging, they'll figure out, like, there were some moving pieces there where, you know, Freddie sort of got screwed in Arizona. And, you know, now I think what you see is a guy who was a really, really good coach all along, in position to at the very least be a coordinator somewhere in the NFL full-time next year.
That's what I was going to ask you. I was going to say, do you think that he's a coordinator next year? You do? You think he'll have an OC
job? He should be. I mean, like, look, he's done some creative things, no question about it, to get Baker playing fast. They've been, you know, open-minded, which I think is the name of the game in the NFL right now.
Yep.
If you look at where if you look at where a lot of the innovation in the NFL has been this year and the last couple of years, a lot of it's coming from the college game, right? And it's Andy Reid, it's Sean McVay, Matt Nagy in Chicago. But a lot of those guys, I mean, they've all, and I've talked to all of them about it, but, you know, the thing about them is they're not afraid to steal. And they're not afraid to say, you know, we can use this from the Big 12. We can use this from the Sun Belt. They're not afraid to take from anywhere. And that's where you've seen this explosion of innovation in the NFL. And I think Freddie's already shown that, you know, and the way that he's put the offense together and done some things to make it work for Baker, whether it's the RPOs or concepts he, you know, played in Oklahoma. We're seeing, I think, offensive innovation in the same way you're seeing with an Aggie or a Reed or a McVay at work in Cleveland. And that's about as big a selling point as you can have as an offensive coach right now, because that's where the league's going.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Speaking of where the league's going, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Albert, we all thought John DeFilippo would be a head coach candidate. Now he's out of his job as OC. It's amazing how things change in just a few weeks, you know?
And I think it's not all that dissimilar. It's not the same, but it's not all that dissimilar from Hugh and Haley, where there's a personality conflict, you know? And I think a piece of this is, you know, a defensive head coach in Mike Zimmer, who's very well respected, wanting to run his team a certain way and wanting the offense to look a certain way and complement the defense a certain way. And it just didn't happen, you know? And so I don't think this makes John DeFilippo a bad football coach. I think what it means is that he was a bad fit in Minnesota. And the writing really, guys, is on the wall when they lost to New England 2 weeks ago. And what you saw in that game, Dalvin Cook, I believe, had something like 9 carries for 84 yards. And looks fantastic. Like, if you saw that game, he looked incredible. And afterwards, Mike Zimmer was asked, like, do you think you ran the ball enough? And he gave a one-word answer. It was no. You know? And you just sort of see it then that there was some tension there and there were some issues there philosophically. And, you know, look, I think Zim knows that, you know, his roster right now is smack in the middle of a championship window. If you look at a lot of those guys, they're 26, 27, 28 years old. Now's the time. And they had an offensive assistant and Kevin Stefanski, who they blocked from going to the Giants last year, who they really felt like was going to be their coordinator long-term when Flip wound up getting a job somewhere else. And so this isn't how they thought they'd end up there, but they always viewed Stefanski as a coordinator. And with the philosophical divide between Zim and Flip, I mean, really it became pretty easy at that point to say, well, we have our answer right here. This guy who's been here for a few years understands what Zim wants to do and what he wants the offense to look like. So let's just go ahead and pull the plug now.
We're talking with Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Albert, you know, we've talked about some of the names for the potential new head coach of the Browns. We've talked about Lincoln Riley and Matt Campbell and Josh McDaniels. Have you heard any new names that have been added to the list in the last week?
No, I mean, I think I've talked a lot to you right before about Matt Campbell and Josh McDaniels. But I still think if I had to put my money anywhere, it'd be on at least the pursuit, you know, an initial pursuit of those two.
Right.
And I think those two probably make the most sense. And it's not just because they're both from Canton. I think both of them in different ways have what the Browns need. You know, on one end, you've got, you know, brilliant offensive coach who comes from a successful program and has been a head coach before. And I personally think has learned from his mistakes. So you have that with Josh. And then with Matt, I think you have somebody who has proven himself to be a program builder and a strong leader and somebody who could be, who can reach athletes and reach younger athletes in particular, which is appealing because you look at the makeup of the roster and there's a lot of that there. Now, obviously, with both guys, there are questions you're going to have to answer with Josh. It's, you know, what's going to make this different than Denver? And with Campbell, it's going to be like, what does your staff look like? And, you know, do you have enough NFL connections to put together the right kind of people around you to support you because you haven't coached that level yet? But I think both are intriguing names. I think both would be very high ceiling choices, and right. So it'll be interesting to see where they go. Again, I don't think that they're, you know, anywhere close to the point where we can say there are 5 names or 10 names. I still think they're working off a pretty lengthy list, but those are the 2 names that I've pretty consistently heard.
Albert, you said something earlier that caught my attention, because I said earlier that I thought Greg has won enough now, won too much, really, to the point where he cannot come back as DC under another head coach, because they've had enough success to where if they got off to a bad start next year, guys would be looking around the locker room going, well, why didn't we just stick with that guy? Do you think that he could successfully transition back to being a DC under somebody else? And maybe you answer this at the start, but I'm just curious if you think there's anything he could do to win the job outright.
That's interesting that you bring that up. Like, the idea that because he runs off X amount of wins, like, is it hard to have in the building anymore?
Yeah.
I think that there's validity to that. I mean, look, I think Greg's a really good football coach, but he has clashed with his head coaches in the past. There's no question about that. I mean, if you want to ask Sean Payton and, you know, give him some truth serum and see what answer you get, I think you'd hear that, you know, he clashed with Sean Payton some. He's always sort of, and he's a Buddy Ryan guy, so it's always been sort of, like, I run my defense, leave me alone, like, I'm the head coach of the defense, and, you know, it's you have to be comfortable with those things. So I can see where, you know, there could be some issues there if you did decide, like, you know, we're going to go ahead and keep him at D.C., you know, will that work with our head coach, or could that undermine our head coach? I certainly think that's part of it. Then the other part of it, I mean, I don't know what he can do to win the job. Like, to be honest with you, I just think there's a lot there with him where it goes beyond just being a conventional second chance guy. And it's Bounty. It's some of the other things. I mean, it's just, there's a lot that you have to get past there. And so I don't know. I mean, like I said, I think he's a good football coach. I just don't know that you can get past all the things that are there and put yourself in a position where you feel comfortable and trusting your future to him, especially if you're John Dorsey and you know, like, I may only get one shot at this. I may only get one shot at picking my own head coach.
Right. Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Albert, speaking of coaching changes, obviously the Browns will have a new coach next year. There's a chance the Bengals will finally fire Marvin Lewis, but then probably hire Hugh Jackson, which is insane. There's been talk about Harbaugh getting fired with the Ravens, although they played better and they might make the playoffs. But what about the Steelers? Is there a chance Mike Tomlin gets fired? They've lost 3 in a row. They're playing the Patriots and the Saints, could easily lose 5 in a row. Maybe they don't even make the playoffs if things really go crazy. What is going on with them, and could Mike Tomlin lose his job?
I'd be surprised if they fired him. I mean, could there eventually be some sort of mutual parting? I mean, we're getting close now to the amount of service that Bill Cowher had, right? Like, Bill Cowher was there for 14 years. Mike Tomlin's now been there for 12. So I think there are some fair questions to ask on that front. I think the other question that's fair to ask is, was it right to move, and this is going to sound funny to people who are sitting in Cleveland, but was it right to move on from Todd Haley? They had a lot of success there offensively. They had a real identity offensively. Was it the right move to move on from Todd Haley? They've always had the program leader there, and they've always had the kind of guy who, you know, can command big personalities and can allow them to cast a wide net from a talent acquisition perspective. So that's always been their model. But that type of coach always needs strong staff and infrastructure around him. And so I think there are lots of questions to ask there. The Steelers' way has never been a knee-jerk, you know, and there was a time before Cowher won his first Super Bowl where there were a lot of people calling for his head, and they wrote it out with him. They were in the playoffs, I think, 3 years in a row, made it to an AFC championship game in there, and they've missed the playoffs once. So it's, unless Tomlin has some desire to get out of there, I just think it would take more than one bad year to actually go ahead and fire him and do something the Rooneys really haven't done, I think, going back to the 60s.
Albert, last thing, you know, we've seen it's been such an offensive dominant league this year, right? More and more and more. But lately, all of a sudden, you saw the Cowboys stymie the Saints. You saw the Seahawks. The Rams get completely shut down by the Bears. Are we buying any kind of resurgence from the defense or blip on the radar?
Yeah, it's getting colder out.
Yeah.
And I think there's always that element of it where, offense dictates the defense. So early in the year, offenses are going to be able to roll out some stuff that maybe defenses haven't seen. It's going to take a while for defenses to catch up. So I think we see some to some degree, we see this every year. Look, you know, the Bears beating the Rams, the Cowboys beating the Saints, the Ravens going toe-to-toe with the Chiefs at Arrowhead with a rookie quarterback. I certainly think that there is I certainly think that defenses have sort of, you know, as they do every year, have sort of slowly caught up. The weather gets bad. Teams get beat up. There's a lot of different elements that I think cause offenses to slow down this time of year. And I also believe this. Like, when you get to the playoffs, it's not about being great on defense or great on offense. I think it's about being well-rounded. I think we'll find that when we get to January, where it's which team has the most answers. Because you're going to run into somebody who's going to be able to take away what you do well. So, you know, how do you counter that? How can you counterpunch? And I think that's the way it's always been. I think that's still the case. And what's super interesting, guys, all right, the weather won't really be a factor in the NFC because you're going to have New Orleans and L.A.
Right.
But we may well get to see two of these matchups in the divisional round because Chicago and Dallas probably win their divisions. They win their divisions, and they get home games, and those two teams will probably wind up playing the Saints and Rams in the second round. And so I think things, from that standpoint, we could get a very, very real look at this in the NFC divisional round.
Albert, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
All right, thanks, guys.
Albert Breer.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.